Okay, this week, as always the case, the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av, we start Seder Devarim, the fifth of the Sanisei Chumshei Torah, and we're told it's totally different. I have in front of me a 700 page commentary that came out last year called Esh Tamid, Eternal Fire of Devarim, which is a clear, comprehensive, anthologized commentary on Devarim by Rav Aaron Sonnenschein. And we'll look at some of that. We'll talk about some of the unique aspects of Devarim. But before I do that, I want to tell over, because I want to record this, which I'm doing, a vort that Rabbi Mendy Katzman said last night that I hadn't heard.
Hi, it's Mark Leary.
So he points out that it says, right, start with the first pasuk, Eilu Dvarim, these are the things. Okay, so it says that these are the things Moshe said to Bnei Yisroel on the other side of the Midbar Transjordan, etc., and it gives you the location, right? And it says that how many days are they from Har Seir, and it's the 40th year in the 12th month, the 11th month, we're in Shvat, the first Rosh Chodesh, and Moshe starts talking, and they tell it, put some more historical perspective in it, and it says, now, Bever Yarden, in the Transjordan, Beretz Moav, you're still in the land of Moav, which he gave to Bnei Ruvain and Bnei Gad and Chatzi Shev and Menashe. Hoyo Moshe Be'er Es HaTorah. Moshe began clarifying the Torah. Clarifying. And the question is, what does this mean? And Rashi says, he taught it in all 70 languages. And therefore, any mitzvah that involves speaking would be valid in every language. So, another pshat is, he even wrote it in all 70 languages for posterity. So, Rabbi Katzman pointed out that the only reason we are allowed, he says, to speak Torah in English, to translate it, to use a language other than Lashon HaKodesh, which has Kedusha, is because Moshe Rabbeinu basically sanctified each language by translating the Torah. And, like Katzman said, presumably they had another 70 scrolls. If there were 70 other languages besides Lashon HaKodesh, they had 70. And if Lashon HaKodesh was one of them, they had 69. So they had all these scrolls. And because this happened, we are allowed to learn Torah in every single language. Okay. The question, he says, and the reason is because we're told many times in the Chumash, that the Torah was given for everyone. We have a special connection to it, but it is there to give a message to all the nations of the world, and that's why it was necessary to do so. So someone asked the question last night, which is an excellent question, if Moshe had already translated the Torah into 70 languages, How could it be that the king of the Greeks wanted to translate it into Greek? It should have been done. That's in the time of the second Commonwealth, right? At the time of the, right? It's after the first Churban of the Beis Hamikdash. And we know at the Churban of the Beis Hamikdash, everything that was the Moshe Rabbeinu, the Luchos, Moshe Rabbeinu's Sefer Torah, his trumpets, the Chatzrosros, were all hidden under the mountain. And presumably, all these Sifrei Torah are there also, because anything Moshe Rabbeinu created on earth had permanence. I think there's a Gemara that says it could never have been destroyed. And then Rabbi Katzman said, I'm going to give you an example of how the Torah applied in other generations. And he says, this is on the internet. He said, have you ever heard the story how Rabbi A.J. Porsky, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, who composed the song Hashias Amecha, who was born in Milwaukee, ended up in Pittsburgh, was the director of Gateway Rehabilitation for people with substance abuses, alcohol, and drugs. Did you ever hear how he questioned the Shaila for the Pope? And obviously everybody opened their eyes. And he said, the story happens that as he was director of Gateway, they brought in a man in a coma. And it looked like he was going to be lost totally. And it seems that he stayed in the coma for 3 days. Thereafter, he woke up, probably a miracle, right? And Rabbi Twersky, Dr. Twersky, said to him, you're an alcoholic. You basically got alcohol poison, and you're lucky to be alive. You can never again drink in your life, and I'm going to give you medication that if you ever succumb, you're going to get so sick, you'll never, ever do it again. So the fellow said, I got a problem. Okay. That's what I hear from my psychiatrist. He said, I am a Roman Catholic priest, and part of our ritual includes a wafer, which I'm told is made by a muscle factory usually, and wine. I have to drink the wine. So he says, it'll kill you. You can't do it. He says, but I have no way out. So he says, okay, let's get a hold of a cardinal, and we'll ask him a shaila, can he give you a dispensation? And so they get a hold of the cardinal, and the cardinal says, no, not possible. There's no way for a dispensation. You can kill, you can murder and everything else and get dispensations, but this was a Yahweh Yahweh. Okay. So Rabbi Twersky says, oh, I know from Pittsburgh, one of the secretaries to the Pope. And I'm going to write him a letter. And he writes to him and he says, in Jewish law, right, where everything in Goyish, Christianity comes from, we have a halacha that if someone can't drink wine, you can drink grape juice. And he put in there a couple of the comments of certain Rishonim who prove that that's the case. In other words, he gave them halacha written out, etc. The secretary reads it, and he goes to the Pope, and he says, look, a Jewish rabbi who's got this problem with a priest who can't drink wine tells me that the great rabbis allowed grape juice. And he says, the Pope looked at it, and he said, I agree. And he says, and apparently it's written, I don't know where, but the Pope issued a dictate. He wrote to all the priests, those of you who for health reasons cannot drink wine are now allowed to use grape juice. And Rabbi Cashman said, this is one of the proofs how the Torah is designed for everyone and everything, etc. The sefer I referred to, Esh Tamid, says, when did Devarim happen? He says, the Midbar is a history of 39 years, we know, and we got to the incident of conquering Sihon Og Baal Peor, right? Pinchas killing Balak and Bilam in the Battle of Midian. And now, he says, Klal Yisrael stands in peace on the threshold of Eretz Yisrael on the banks of the Yarden. He says, the Book of Devarim starts in year 40 on the first of Shvat. And for 36 days, Moshe teaches. And then on Zion Adar, he is Nifter. He goes to Shemayim. In this five-week interim, this is what Sefer Devarim encompasses. And he says the last three parshas, right? I guess Vayelech, Hazinu, and Zaysa Bracha all occurred on one day, on the seventh day itself. He says there's a major difference between the longest sermon, as Rabbi Katzman says, the 36-day sermon, right? And other parts. The primary event in Devarim is Moshe's sermon. Devarim means these are the things he said. Unlike the other four books of the Torah, the only human voice in Devarim is Moshe. He is now following HaKadosh Baruch Hu's instructions to teach Klal Yisrael well the Torah, and that they are now going into enter into a new Brit covenant after his passing. He says, unlike previous Umashim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give Moshe every single word to say. He didn't get a specific text. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mapped out the outline, the skeleton, and Moshe then chose how to say it, mipi atzmai, with his own mouth. He again reiterates, no human being ever before or ever after will have or did have the type of communication and connection as HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Moshe Rabbeinu. There is nothing that Moshe ever taught that was not utterly consonant, right? Exactly in context with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. He says, Yecheskel says, after describing the generation in the wilderness, and he says, their failings, not our failings, but things they, great people, failed us, He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the new generation, I said to their children in the desert, don't follow your father's way. He says, where and when did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say this? He quotes Maharikara. This refers to when Moshe says in, right, Moshe's word. And yet, it says, Yecheskel says, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I said. So you see that Moshe, so to speak, was the PA system for the Rabboni Shalom's instructions. He says, after the 5 weeks of Moshe speaking, just before Moshe is going to go to Shemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictates all of Devarim to Moshe Rabbeinu. This was when Hashem said, I want you to write it down, and this should encompass all of Devarim. He quotes Yerachayim that says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told Moshe to keep an ongoing written log of the details of the travels. When Hashem dictated Torah to Moshe, he said, record this now as part of the Torah. Exactly the way, right, Moshe had written it. So we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe, so to speak, the words to say afterwards. And Moshe writes exactly what Hashem tells him now to write. He says, therefore, this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's divine written authorship. He says, the divinity, the sanctity, and the halachic rigor that are associated with every single sefer in the Torah, from Bereishis to Devarim, are equivalent. He says, Ibn Ezra says, that Devarim's Parsha divisions, we know we have a Parsha Psucha and Stuma. A Parsha Psucha is where we have between them, right, it ends and we have at least 9 letters, right? And the stuma is like Vayechi, which the first word Vayechi is right next to the last word of Vayigash. He says, these do not reflect Moshe's separation of words. This format was dictated by the Rabbeinu Shalom. And he goes on and he says that this is not the way Moshe specifically said the words, right? But this was a format for the written version, which came from the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says, the phrases, the order of the words and sentences and paragraphs are in some ways, and I write, also reflective of the way Moshe taught the people. It would seem that obviously, the division of Cedras, Parshas, etc., have much more to them that we would think immediately meets the eye. He says, Devarim is in some places called the Sefer of Moshe. He says there are a number of psukim, both in Nevi'im and Kesuvim, that quote laws that are stated in the Chumash. But, he says, when the source for a law is Devarim, he says, the verse in the Navi says, this is from Sefer Moshe, the book of Moshe. He says, the Bamidbar Rabbah says, the Kodesh Baruch Hu had promised Moshe Rabbeinu that there were psukim that would be ascribed directly to Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, the Medrash Tanchuma says that Moshe signs his name at the end of Devarim. And he gives a reference, but I don't understand what it is. He says, if we're going to analyze what's in Devarim, we start reprimand, exhortation, lessons based on what happened, mitzvah. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to repeat mitzvah. There are some new ones here too. I think if I remember when we learned the essay by Shmuel Golden, he writes that most of the mitzvahs can be called the mitzvahs that will be especially noyeg, especially prevalent in the settlement of Eretz Yisrael. He says, remember, and please note that beyond the 36-day sermon, which is actually, I think, shown by Rabbi Menachem Lipag to be broken into, I think, a couple of what he calls separate essays, right? Moshe did, once again, review the entire Torah Shebaal Peh, all the intricate mitzvot, and all of their profound meanings. And he asked at the beginning, when we go through things, please ask me any questions you have. Ask me about any type of uncertainties. Or tell me, have I not said it clearly enough? I want this to be a dialogue as well as a monologue. He says, from Kisavoy until Vaisa Bracha, this is called the Bris, the covenant, at Arvois Noya, Arvois Moya. We have a repeat of the Toichacha. We have a specific contract, terms and acceptance, offer acceptance, right, in a contract. We have instructions for what is to be done later when we cross over on Har Gerizim and Har Eval, the brachas and the kolos. And Moshe is told to write the Shir of Hazinu. Moshe then instructs Yahushua to complete the Torah. He says, Parshas Vayisa Bracha is Moshe's last spoken legacy. the bracha he gives each tribe and the nation. And we know the very end of the Torah concludes with the ketirah of Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's epitaph for Moshe Rabbeinu. He said, in retrospect, he said, people should just remember there are many mitzvot that are in the first and third portions of Devarim. There's much history and there's much reprimand. And these three aspects are what create the basis and the totality of Sefer Devarim.
Okay.